We're looking at readiness for the great day of the Lord. We want to prepare ourselves so that whenever the day will come, then we'll be found ready, because we have not neglected the salvation of the Lord and the provision of His grace for our lives. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading from verse 1. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading from verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, His coming, and by our gathering together unto Him. When He comes, then the precious people of the earth, the saints of God, those who are saved, those who are sanctified, those who are made holy, those who are living righteously, they'll be gathered unto Him. That in verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. You understand? He's saying that before that day comes, there'll be a falling away first. And when you think about the time in which you are living, understand, these verses of scripture we're reading now, they've been written about 2,000 years ago. And then Paul the apostle, inspired by the Spirit of God, says there will be a falling away first. And I cannot begin to tell you today how many churches are falling away and falling away and falling away. Those who are standing by the truth of scripture before, on salvation, on sanctification, on holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, on all the major doctrines of the Bible. And now, as a whole denomination, they're falling away from that truth. And then it says, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The mystery of iniquity, that is iniquity as a hidden thing, as a mystery that is just shooting out and coming out like smoke, like a volcano out of the whole of the earth. It says that mystery of iniquity is now at work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way, because the church is still here. That's why the mystery of iniquity has not totally encircled the whole globe and taking the whole globe, and people become intoxicated with madness and with evil and with wickedness because of the church that is still here. The light is still shining, and we're the salt of the earth, and we're retarding the corruption of the earth. That's what it says. The mystery of iniquity is working already. But only he that now letteth, hindering it, will continue to hinder until he be taken out of the way after the rapture. Then after that rapture shall the wicked be revealed. That's the Antichrist, who the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his countenance. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, for this reason, God shall send them some delusion, that they should believe a lie. That is, there are people, the truth comes to them, but they made up their minds and they say, yes, I see those verses. Yes, I see the scriptures. Yes, I see the truth, but I've made up my mind what I'm going to believe. And I've sealed it up. I've said, thus far, no more. Any truth that comes to me now, I don't want to accept. I've sealed up my mind, I've made up my mind what to believe and what not to believe. It says, because of that, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Come back to chapter 1 of that same book, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 from verse 7. And to you who are troubled, to you who are persecuted, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction, separation from God, from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power, when he shall come, when he shall come, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So then we know that the Lord is coming. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 3. We're talking about the day of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, we're now looking at verse 10. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That's, we've traced the prophecies, some of the prophecies relating to the second coming, to the day of the Lord. Now we're going to look at the perplexities connected with the day of the Lord. Here is point number two. It says, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth, also the works that are therein, shall be burnt up. Here you're talking about the pain, the perplexity, the loss associated with the coming day of the Lord. And it's almost indescribable. Man has his day of anger against God. That's your day, man. But you see, the Lord also, he has his own day of anger and wrath coming. Man has today his day of rejecting the Lord. But man, understand, God also has his own day of retribution, when he will examine the works of man, the attitude of man, to the grace and to the mercy and to the love that he brought. And those who have rejected, all of them then will face the day, the coming day of the Lord. On that day, the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, the whole earth, and the works that are therein. When you think of the works that are therein, he's talking about all the buildings there, all the industries there, all the things attractive to man there, all the things that man has labored for to build up and to construct. Everything will be melted away in fervent heat and shall be burnt up. And what a day that will be. When you think about it, that all the labor of man today, and he refuses to think about salvation, and he refuses to think about eternal life, and he refuses to think about that holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, and is laboring and laboring and laboring, and he wakes up early in the morning, he will not even have quiet time. He wakes up early in the morning, there is no time of fellowship with members of his family. He wakes up early in the morning, there is no time to prepare members of his family for eternity. And then he rushes to the trade, or to the market, or to the office, and then he's building up something in the world here. He goes here, he goes there, he runs about, and he's trying to gather some dust and some mud and some cement and some sand and some stones together to raise up this. And then he points to this and said, that's what my hand has made. He points to that and says, that's what my hands have made. And then the Lord is telling us the day is coming, and it will be very, very soon, when all those that do not know the Lord, of course, even those who know the Lord, those who know the Lord, the people of God, everything that our hands have made, you will leave everything here. Because my brother, my sister, when the rapture takes place, you're not going to take that big house with you. When the rapture takes place, you're not going to take that certificate with you. They don't need it up there. When the rapture takes place, all those boxes and boxes and boxes and piles of clothes, you're not going to take them away. When the rapture takes place, all the money you stack in the bank, you're not going to take that away. When the rapture comes, the only thing you'll be able to take away, if you're born again, the salvation of the Lord. If you're born again, the holiness of the Lord. If you're born again, that sanctification experience the Lord has given you. If you're born again, and you're living a holy and a righteous life, your life in Christ, that's all you'll be able to take away. If you're born again and you're living for the Lord and you're working for God, the testimony of the Lord in your conscience, the testimony in your heart that I've served the Lord, and you can count every day, this day I serve the Lord, every day of the week with all sincerity and with all my heart, my motives are pure, the love is there, I put all my life and everything in the gospel. When the rapture takes place, that's the only thing you'll be able to take away. All the things you are building up, all the things you are raising up, all the things that will, you know, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough time. Even if you make the rapture, even if you make the rapture, you will leave everything behind. And when the day of the Lord comes and everything goes up in fire, Everything you have raised up, everything will be burnt to ashes. And then think about the people that are not even saved. They are not even born again. They are not even children of God. I don't have time to study the Bible. I don't have time to attend any Christian meeting. I don't have time to listen to the message of salvation. I'm building something. Go ahead, my friend. Go and build the something you want to build. When the day of the Lord comes, and then the fire, it will come from beneath. It will come from beneath, it will come from above. Scientists tell us, if you know about neuroscientists and those astronomers and those geologists, go and ask them, they will tell you that the very center of the earth, you see, all this ground we're staying on now, as we look at the globe, is a thin shell. And then inside, there is a ball of liquid fire that is there. When the Lord made the earth, he made the earth in such a way that the liquid fire is inside the globe, is inside the earth. And anytime you hear there is volcano, it's like an eruption in a little hole. It's like when you put a little pin on a particular globe, and then a little smoke, a little fire comes out. That's when you hear there's a volcano somewhere, there's earthquake somewhere. But then at that time, the fire inside the globe, it will puncture all the various parts of the globe, and the flames will come, and then the sun, it will be like a heat of a million suns, and then everything will be in fire, and everything will melt away in fervent heat. And then all the things you have amassed, all the money in the bank, all the clothes in the boxes, all the houses you have built, all the things you have constructed, everything will be totally gone. And then you put your hand in the mouth like this, in 1 minute, what you labored for 50 years, for 60 years, for 70 years, everything is gone in flames. And then your soul is not prepared to meet the Lord. You lost everything here, you lose everything over there, and you go empty-handed, a sinner, a deceiver, a rejecter, a rebel before the Lord, and you come before him and he says, what have you got to say? I called you to salvation. Here is my son, Jesus Christ. He came to the earth, he bore your sin. And he bought everything for you. And he just said, come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's all he said. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What was your attitude? What was your response? What were you doing? You were building this and building that and going here and going there and amassing this and amassing that and getting money and getting this and chieftaincy title and everything. Where are those things? They are burnt in fire. As your property is burnt in fire, then you yourself, you go to the everlasting fire. Where is the gain? That's why the Lord is telling us, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord. He will abundantly pardon if you come today because he's calling you today. At that day of the Lord, there'll be perplexity, there'll be pain, and there'll be terrible loss, because it tells us that all the elements of man's sphere, of man's space, the atmosphere, everything will melt away in fervent heat. And scientists will tell you that everything, the composition of the earth, when they talk about the elements, they're talking about the various elements that make the fire and the air and the earth and the water. And the scientists have analyzed that all the things that make up all those various things, that they are combustible, inflammable, that once the fire of the Lord comes in the devastation, all the things that you see today, and they are made up of these various elements, everything will burn away, because that's the way those things are made. Even the works that are there in all of man's works and the developments and the inventions on which man has concentrated all his efforts and all his time, and which has taken man's heart away from God, all these works and things thereby therein shall be burnt up. My question to you, my brother, my sister, is where will you be? Where will you be? And what will you have left when everything that you have labored for has been burnt in fire? And let's see these perplexities connected with the coming day of the Lord. In Luke chapter 21, Luke chapter 21, I'm reading to you there from verse 25. Luke 21 verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. With perplexity, the sea and the waves running, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those seas which are coming on the earth. Here are the words of Jesus Christ, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. You see the perplexity that will come in Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13, from verse 6 all through to verse 11. Isaiah 13, verse 6. How ye? For the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all the hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold the day of the Lord. Behold the day of the Lord. Behold the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and it shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Please understand, Isaiah, who prophesied this, this same Isaiah prophesied that a virgin shall conceive. And who would have believed him? And really, a virgin later conceived. And this is the Isaiah that prophesied about Jesus Christ, a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. Who would have believed that this Christ that had been prophesied by Isaiah in chapter 35, he will heal the sick and the lame will rise up and walk. He will open the eyes of the blind. Who will believe that that same Christ that opens the eyes of the blind and makes the lame to walk, in chapter 53, he'll be a man of sorrows acquainted with grief, and then they will crucify him and they'll number him with the transgressors. He prophesied all these. He prophesied about the Spirit of God coming upon the Messiah. And then he said that when the Spirit of God comes upon him, he will be anointed to preach the gospel and to comfort the afflicted and to heal the sick and to heal the brokenhearted. And Jesus Christ fulfilled all that. Well, if he prophesied about Christ on all those areas and those things were fulfilled, how about this? That he prophesied about the coming day of the Lord, and that it will be a day of doom and devastation and destruction. It will be a terrible scene for the people of the world. It's going to be so. That's the reason why you need to take note, and that's the reason why you need to prepare yourself so that that day will not come upon you by surprise. In Ezekiel chapter 30 from verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 30 from verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, how ye, what was the day? What was the day? For the day is near. Even the day of the Lord is near. A cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen. That is the time when the heathen, those who have rejected the Lord, it will be their time when judgment and wrath will come upon them. In Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1 verses 14 and 15. Zephaniah 1, chapter 1, verse 13. Verse 14, rather. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. And hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And you see what the Lord is telling us over and over about this coming day of the Lord, the day of judgment, in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 and verse 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. These are the very words of Jesus Christ himself. And if you know that Jesus Christ is truth personified, He cannot tell a lie. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He tells us that that day will be a day when the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Why will they mourn? Because it's not coming with mercy now. It's not coming with salvation now. It's not coming with love now. It's coming as a terrible judge. And even his look and the entourage and all the clouds and all the angels and the things surrounding him and the sun and the moon having taken part in that devastation and the heat scorching men and causing a kind of heat that people will prefer to die, they'll mourn. We've lost a day of privilege, a day of opportunity, a day when we could have received salvation, but we did not. And our mercy is gone, and judgment has come. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, this coming day of the Lord, Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 19 to verse 20, 19 and 20, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible notable day of the Lord come. Everybody is telling us, Old Testament, New Testament, the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. And it will be a day of devastation, a day of judgment, a day when Christ rejects us and those who have rejected salvation and the love of God, when they will suffer, and then there will be no repentance, no opportunity for them again to be able to have the salvation of the Lord. In Jude verse 14, 15 and verse 16, Jude from verse 14, and Enoch also, the servant from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. In verse 16, these are murmurers, those who partake in that judgment, complainers, those who complain, walking after their own laws, and their mouths speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. All those people that are not able to take their stand, and because of big man or because of sugar daddy, sugar mommy, they are not able to really take their stand because of the respect they have for men, the respect they have for women is more than the honor, the loyalty, the faithfulness they can have for God. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, reading from verse 14. And the heavens shall depart as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island shall be moved out of their place. It's at that time the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man will hide themselves in the dens of the rocks and the mountains. And then it says, and they will say unto the rock, unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That's the reason why Jesus Christ counseled all those who listen to him at his own time, and those who are listening to him today, how we ought to be prepared so that we'll be able to escape that devastation and judgment that is coming upon the world today. In Luke chapter 21 verse 34, Luke chapter 21 from verse 34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day, the day we're talking about, the day of the Lord, that day come upon you unawares, unprepared, not ready. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. It's not just talking about Nigeria or Ghana or West Africa or East Africa or the whole of Africa or Asia. It's talking about the whole world. It says as a snare, it will come upon them by surprise. They just wake up to the shock that Christ had come. He's taking his people away. And now he comes again with devastating judgment. Today they are busy with, you know, this one and that one and that one and that one. No time for religion now. No time for calling upon the Lord now. What are you talking about? I need to build this. I need to do this. I need to get this done. I need to get that done. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that she may be accounted worthy to escape all the sin that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I pray we'll escape this devastating day of the Lord in Jesus' name. Now, we need to prepare them. We need to prepare. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, preparation. Now, preparing for the coming day of the Lord. Preparing for the coming day of the Lord. We're reading verse 11, but I'm going to start from verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, seeing then that all the elements and the heavens and the earth and the works that are therein, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, seeing that all these certificates will be burnt up, seeing that all these chieftaincy titles will be burnt up, seeing that all these houses will be destroyed and demolished, seeing that all these things we are amassing and gathering together, seeing that all the things we are holding on to ourselves, I cannot serve the Lord now. I cannot serve the Lord now. My colleagues have built house, I must build a house. My colleagues are riding cars, I must ride a car. My colleagues are doing this and I must do it. My colleagues, you know, we came out of school together at the same time. Here is what they're doing. I must do it myself. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Knowing that all the things that men are laboring and suffering for today shall eventually be burnt up. The wisest thing to do is to labor to possess eternal life, everlasting life, which cannot be dissolved, which cannot be burnt up. Even if it were possible for you to gain the whole world and all the things which the heart of man desires today, what will be the ultimate gain for you when all shall be lost, forever lost, in the fire of the earth's judgment? That's why the apostle is saying by the Spirit of God, what manner of persons ought ye to be? As you meditate every day, and you hold the things of this world with a loose hand, and you don't quarrel with anybody, they want to take that thing, you're not going to court, you're not fighting, you're not struggling, you don't want to lose your soul because of all these things, after all, they're going to be dissolved. What are we fighting about? What are we going to court about? What are we throwing stones about to any other person? What are we arguing about? What is it we're getting angry about? And we're losing our salvation, and we're losing our holiness, and we're losing our humility, and we're losing our loyalty, and we're losing our faithfulness to God, and we're losing commitment to the word of God. What are we fighting about? What are we looking for with all these neighbors? They don't have anything to lose because they don't have salvation. All they have is the mud and the dust and the sand and the stone they are gathering up. All they have is a parcel of land, and a parcel of land they're even fighting about is not enough to even bury them. All these things, they're the things that will vanish away. They don't have eternal life, and if we fight with them, if we quarrel with them, if we go to court with them, if we begin to exchange abusive language with them, we are the people that will lose our soul. They themselves, they're already lost, and they're in the cage of the devil. What are we fighting about with the unbelievers? If they want to struggle about anything, why don't you remember? After all, even if I get this, if we go to court and I get this thing from them, eventually, all these things that we're gaining and getting will be burnt up and melted away in the fire. See then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The very fact that all that we see on earth, all the things acquired properly or fraudulently, will be dissolved and destroyed, ought to make us exert a kind of deep lasting influence on ourselves, and shall lead us to seek and to maintain that holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, because there is nothing abiding, there is nothing of lasting value on earth. Nothing of abiding, lasting value on earth. Our real interest should be on holy living and godliness. Let me ask you, should the earth right now be totally dissolved? And should the houses be totally burnt up? Should the boxes be totally burnt up? Should the certificates all be burnt up? Should the things of earth all be burnt up? Should fire just gush all the banks? And then all the money you stack there, everything is gone. What will you have left? Would you still have the peace of God in your heart? That salvation that nobody can take away. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And my Father and I were greater than all. And no man can pluck them out of my hand. Well, that salvation that fire cannot take away, that salvation that the world cannot take away, will that salvation still be there when all the world is gone, when all the money is gone, when all the property of the earth is gone? What will you have left? That's the question we're asking you. And if you don't come to study the word of God, if you don't pray, if you don't have this eternal, heavenly, spiritual heritage, what do you have? What are you rejoicing about? I bought this, I've got this. Look at the amount of money I have in the bank. In a few minutes, I'm telling you, when the day of the Lord shall appear, when that day shall come, everything will be burnt up. What else will you have? Then you'll be like that foolish man that said, I've got quite a lot. Rejoice, my soul. And then I don't even have where to lay them because there are so many and they are expanding. And then the Lord says, tonight your soul will be taken away from you. Who shall all these things be that you have gathered up? And so is every man that is having riches here and is not rich towards God in heaven. That's why you need to be wise, that when everything will go up and burst into flames, then you'll still have something that fire cannot burn. What does that take? As we prepare to meet the Lord when he comes. In 1 John chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then it says, and every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself. Every man that has this hope in him, those who believe the scriptures, those who believe that after all, work or no work, job or no job, hunger or no hunger, one day hunger will last, hunger will finish. One day, all this pain, all this no job, no this, no that, everything will end. And then, like Lazarus, we'll be able to go to the Lord and we'll be in Abraham's bosom. But the rich man, with all that he got, after all, those who are eating and those who have money, one day everything will end. And when everything ends, they too, they will die. One day everything will end. At that time, what will you have? What will be the joy of your life? That's why it says, every man that has this hope in him, you wake up in the morning, you say, well, Lord, I'm going to work. But this work is not the most important thing in my life. I'm going to the market. This is not the most important thing in my life. I'm going to school. This is not the most important thing in my life. But the hope that I will see the Lord on the final day. Therefore, Lord, as I am laboring to have the things of the world, help me labor to have this holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. I'm asking you, those of us in business, and you're spending so much time getting money, do you spend as much time seeking for salvation and seeking for holiness, seeking for sanctification? Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. I'm asking those of you that are still students, you go to school, and you go to school from morning till evening. The time you spend looking for certificate that will be burnt up, it's good to go to school, it's good to look for certificate. Do you spend the same time looking for eternal life, asking for salvation, asking for sanctification, asking for this holiness without which no man shall see the Lord? I want to build and I want to have this. The time you spend looking for money, looking for, I must build this, I must make that. The time you spend looking for perishable things, the things that will not last, the things that will be burnt up. Do you spend the same time, the same amount of time preparing for heaven? Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. That's what gets us prepared. But if we're holding spiritual things with loose hands, salvation with loose hands, sanctification with loose hands, and then the thing that will grab and the thing that will hold and the thing will not joke, will not play with, and I don't joke with my work. And take church from me, you can take salvation, you can take spiritual, I don't joke with my work. There you are. Don't joke with it. It will be taken away from you one day. But if you can turn around
and say, I don't joke with salvation. Let them take what they want. Let them take whatever it is they are struggling for. But this salvation, this life eternal, and this sanctification and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, I don't joke with that. That's the right attitude you ought to have as we see the day of the Lord approaching. The preparation we make is that we become part of the glorious church, without spot, without wrinkle. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 25, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Holy and without blemish. That's what it will take. In Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, reading from verse 11. Titus 2, 11. It's telling us here that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, ungodliness will try to enter. You deny it. You resist it. You reject it. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Why are we doing that? Why the righteousness? Why the sobriety? Why the godliness in this present world? Because we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's what it takes. We need to prepare. Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. I'm reading to you from verse 15. Isaiah 33 and in verse 15. Here it tells us, he that walketh righteously, continuously, walketh Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday again, you start all over again, walking consistently, not a spasmodic kind of thing. You live righteously, now it's interrupted again because of the flesh, because of wrong motives, because of impure intention. Then the holiness is interrupted. Then you wake up one day and live a righteous life. Then you backslide again. Not that one. He walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, consistently, and that despiseth the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his ears from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munition of the rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall not fail. Then I shall see the king in his beauty, in his glory, in his majesty and splendor. And they shall behold the land that is very far off. Those are the people that are walking righteously and uprightly. I'm sure you know Psalm 15, but it's very important that you consider it and match it with your life and examine your life with these details we have in Psalm 15. Look at it. In Psalm 15 from verse 1, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? The king David was a wise man, wiser than his son Solomon. He had all the royalty, everything surrounding royalty, and yet he knew, after all, the throne and the hills and the city, everything will be burnt in fire one day. But when everything has melted away, where will I be? Then there is the place of the Lord, a dwelling place of the Lord. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Then he begins to now tell us one by one, itemize them, item by item. And it's what you need to use now to examine your life and to look at your life and to ask yourself, do you fit into the qualification of the people that will dwell with the Lord on the final day? He that walketh uprightly, not crookedly, walketh uprightly. He that walketh righteousness, not unrighteousness, unrighteous deals in business, unrighteous deals in marriage, unrighteous relationship, men and women, unrighteous attitude, unrighteous action. He that walketh righteously and speaketh the truth in his heart. There are some people today, you cannot ask them simple question, they'll frame a lie, because they're thinking about themselves, they're thinking about their prestige, they're thinking about their personality, they're thinking about the privilege they have in the church, they're thinking about the ideas other people have about them, and they cannot tell the straightforward 100% truth. Those people, they are not conscious of heaven. They are not conscious of the coming of the Lord, that the Lord can come anytime. He that speaketh the truth in his heart. And I'm asking you, dear wife, do you speak the truth with your husbands? Husband, do you speak the truth with your wife? Children, do you speak the truth with your parents? Employees, do you speak the truth with your employers? Because this is what it takes. He that speaketh the truth in his heart. Not that he will hide the truth in the heart and he'll bring out something that is different from the truth. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. And when you think about the church, you know, people, and they can't talk about the Lord, they cannot witness, they cannot evangelize. All they are talking about, they're talking about so and so, they are talking about such and so, they are talking about who and who. But it says the people that are preparing for the coming day of the Lord, they're the people, they don't backbite with their tongue. You know, doeth evil to his neighbor, he will not do evil to his neighbor. Doesn't play with evil, joke with evil. He doesn't take delight in evil. Will not do evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned. You know the people of the world, you know what they do? A vile person, a fraudulent person, a rogue, a thief, because he has money. Everybody, they know the work he does. They know he's a thief. They know he's a rogue. They know he's, you know, a nice person. But everybody will be, you know, they'll be dancing around him because they want something. But they know in their heart he's a vile person, a backslider, because he has money. They won't tell him the truth. They won't tell him that the way you are going, should you die, where will you spend eternity? But those who are preparing for heaven, in whose eyes a vile person is contempt, but honoreth them that fear the Lord. The man may not have money, the woman may not have money, he may not have anything to give me, but it's a righteous man, it's a righteous woman. They honor the people that fear the Lord. He that swear to his own heart and changeth not. Swear to his own heart and changeth not. It's not the people that says, I thought I would serve the Lord before. I thought I would work for God before. I thought, you know, I would do this for the Lord before. And I even consecrated and made up my mind I would serve the Lord. But the way things are going now, the circumstances and what I see, what I hear, I don't think I can do it again. Not those people. He that putteth not out his money to usury is not looking for lawful gain. Quick money. Nor taketh of reward against the innocent. He that doeth such things, those things shall never be moved. In Psalm 24, I'm reading to you verses 3 and 4. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Here is David again asking. Interested. He wants to know, because the time you spend here on earth is just about 70 years or 80 years. But he wants to know, where am I going to spend eternity? Time without end. He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 14. Hebrews 12 from verse 14. Follow peace with all men. This is what it takes with your landlord. Follow peace with all men. With your tenants, follow peace with all men. With your husband, your wife, follow peace with all men. With your children, your parents, follow peace with all men. With members of the church, follow peace with all men. With that troublesome neighbor in your community, follow peace with all men. The abuse you cannot abuse. The insult you cannot insult. And they try to wage war against you, you cannot wage war back. Because you have a goal, you have a place you are going. Because the day of the Lord is approaching. Follow peace with all men. And holiness with those girls. Holiness with those ladies. Holiness with the wife of your friend. Holiness with the ladies that you sit with in the bus. Holiness. And with the ladies in your office, holiness. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Holiness in the private and holiness in the public. Holiness in the church and holiness in the community. Holiness everywhere. Holiness in your body. And holiness in the works of your hand and the language of your mouth. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. You know, many things that happen, Some little things, you get angry. Bitterness rises up in you. Do you know that you are joking with heaven and you are gambling with your salvation? Because of this little thing, irritation, wrath, anger, bitterness. What are you angry about? The things we're going to leave behind. The things that are going to be melted away in fervent heat. The things that somebody does to me now, somebody does to you now, in 1 month's time, we cannot even remember the pain anymore. The thing is vanished away. That's what you're angry about. Be very careful lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Because it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. That's why it's very important that you are telling the Lord, Lord, I want to be ready. I don't want to just be here. And then eventually the time comes and the Lord comes and I'm not able to go. But you know that even though it may appear long and it appears we have been saying he will come, he has not come, but he's coming. I said he's coming. But at that time, you try to pray, it may be too late. This is the time to pray. Did you hear this before? I dreamed that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. That was the time I dreamed that the nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel and stood on land and the sea, and he swore with his hands raised to heaven that the time has come now for judgment. Eternity is setting on men and time shall be no more. The rich man was there. All these things we're talking about, they will not care about the salvation. It's still about the riches, but his money had melted and vanished away because the day of the Lord had come, and all those riches and all the money that he gathered in the banks, everything had melted away. A poor is chewed in the judgment and his debts were too heavy to pay. The great man was there, but his greatness when death came had been left far behind. The angel that opened the records, not a trace of his greatness could find. The gambler was there, and the drunkard, and the man that has sold them the drink, the people who gave him the license to eat together in hell did it sing. How about the moral man when he came to judgment? All the self-righteous rags they could not do. The men, after all, that crucified Jesus had passed off as moral men too. The soul that had put off salvation. Look at the time. Look at the time. I'm in a hurry. Which one is more important? I'm in a hurry. I will pray another time. They said, I have no time now to get saved. I'll get saved by and by. No time now to think of religion. At last, they have found time to die. And oh, what a weeping and wailing. As the lost were told of their fate, they cried. No, I can't cry now. I'm a strong man, I'm a strong woman, I can't cry for anything. Wait, you will cry at that time. They cried for the mountains and the rocks. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. There's a time when prayer will be too late. Here is a time where you can pray, when you can call upon the Lord, when the earth has melted, and when all the sun has been darkened, and the moon is turned to blood, and the stars begin to fall, and when everything on earth and the works that are therein shall be melted away with fervent heat, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Isn't this the time to call upon the Lord and to say, Lord, make me ready. Lord, make me ready. Lord, make me ready. I don't want to perish in sin. I don't want to perish with the people of the world. Lord, make me ready. Here is the time to pray. But if you pray too late, oh, what a weeping and wailing, as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. Call upon the Lord before you go. Make sure you are saved. Make sure you are saved. If you are backsliding, make sure that you come back to the Lord. If you are backsliding, make sure you come back to the Lord, because we don't know. We don't know what that day will be when the Lord will come. Get ready before he comes.